Look around. What do you see? Cars. Lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan, leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped, self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars, used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Stuff You Should Know Nation, Stuff You Should Know Army, and even casual listeners. Welcome to this week's Saturday Stuff You Should Know Select episode. This one's from January 28th, 2010, Are There Undiscovered People? And this was a great one. I just remember thinking at the time, wow, is it possible that there could be people out there in the world that we don't know about in this day and age, even in 2010? Not even 2018. So it was pretty interesting, and it's sort of an older one at this point, and it's just a super interesting one. Learn all about everything we know about whether or not there could be undiscovered people in the world. So enjoy Are There Undiscovered People right now.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Bryant.
I'm always there for you, Josh.
Yeah, as always.
Yes.
How's it going?
I'm contractually obligated to be.
I know. So, Chuck, you doing all right?
Yeah, dude. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
It's Thursday. It's not Friday, but...
It's a little gray out for my tastes.
Yeah.
It's sprinkling, by the way.
I thought it was like pouring rain. Is it just sprinkling?
It's sprinkling.
Yeah, that's good.
So, Chuck, do you remember, can we go back a year or so, May 2008?
How many years after Ghostbusters?
Let's see, hold on. What was it, 84 or 86?
84, and yes, we do know that there is a
24 years.
A sequel coming, by the way.
Yes, Ghostbusters 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be awesome.
Should be.
The entire original cast.
I believe so.
Except for Sigourney Weaver, which that's okay.
Eh.
Yeah, Ghostbusters 3 coming out.
Right. So where are we?
So we're 24 years after Ghostbusters.
Right.
May 2008. And the news cycle had this kind of strange occurrence where a bunch of undiscovered human beings were splashed across the front pages of newspapers everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sort of.
Yeah. So there's this photo. There's several photos of these people living in primitive huts.
Uh-huh.
Actually, primitive longhouses is what it looks like.
Yeah.
And they are, it's an aerial photo taken from a low flying helicopter, and they are pissed.
Yeah.
They're like aiming their bows and arrows at the camera.
Did you see the picture? It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
They're like, get out of here.
Right.
This whole thing made the news cycle. And Chuck, I take from what you said before we started recording that you have a tad bit of disdain for the, let's say, journalism that was applied to this.
Yeah. Well, first of all, should we go ahead and refute it?
Why not?
Because they were not, in fact, undiscovered people.
No. And there's actually a huge distinction between undiscovered people and uncontacted or isolated people, right?
Right. But you would not know that by reading The Independent from London.
Which I'm disappointed because I like that paper. No, I'm sorry. I could care less about The Independent. The Guardian I like.
Yeah, you like The Guardian.
Yeah.
Not the Daily Mail, The Independent.
Right.
Here's how the article opens up beneath the picture of the, you know, clearly savage
loincloths and everything.
With the arrow pointing at the helicopter.
Right.
Three near-naked figures are visible in the forest clearing. Two of them are men, their bodies daubed with a red dye, and they are aiming their bows at the sky. A third figure appears to be a woman, her body blackened and only her pale hands and face betraying her natural color. This remarkable photograph is the first proof of existence of one of the world's last uncontacted tribes.
Yeah.
So they do say uncontacted.
That's good.
But
not everybody did, though.
Sure, it's a little overblown.
That was a fine dramatic reading there, Chuck.
I think the funniest thing that would have happened is if he would have shot that arrow and it would have somehow disrupted the propeller of the helicopter.
Right.
And it would have, you know, landed safely on the beach for them to be eaten.
Yeah.
That would have been a nice ending.
There are tons of rumors of cannibalism about undiscovered people, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this specific case, there is a guy named Carlos Dos Reis Mireles. My Spanish is a little rusty, but I think that's about right.
Not bad.
He is an Indian expert. I just made air quotes. And these photos were taken in Brazil, right?
Yeah.
This guy led the search for this tribe,
mm-hmm.
right? And I guess he kind of watched with horror, hopefully,
yeah.
as they were described as undiscovered and no one had ever found them before. He came out and was like, Wait, no, I've been following these people for the last 20 years.
Right.
So they're not undiscovered.
See, I thought that was part of the ploy for him. Was he taken aback by that, you think? I thought maybe that's how he got the funding to get the research team by saying they were
undiscovered. It could go either way.
We'll find out.
Well, let's talk about it. Is it even possible to be undiscovered?
Well, that's what this podcast is about, buddy. And you know what? It's kind of impossible these days.
Yeah, we have things like GPS.
Mm-hmm.
We have things like heat sensors that can be attached to airplanes.
Sure.
Which, you know, body heat sensors.
Yeah, yeah.
There is almost complete and total encroachment and harnessment of any square parcel of land on the planet.
Yeah, most everywhere.
Most. But that doesn't mean that there aren't people who live outside, I guess, the fringe, who live primitively.
Yeah.
And remain in a, I guess, primitive state. These are the uncontacted people.
Yeah, isolation, basically. They call them undiscovered, then they say uncontacted, and then they finally settle on isolated.
Right.
Which means, more than anything, is they don't want any part of us.
Yeah.
And not that we don't want a part of them, because we're always interested.
We are, and usually with,
ill-intent.
Murderous results, right?
Yeah.
These people have learned the hard way, and some of these uncontacted tribes also, we should say, we have no idea what they call themselves.
Right.
So there's a group actually called Survival International, and they are dedicated to preserving indigenous ways of lives.
Yeah, for these tribes. It's awesome.
For uncontacted tribes who've rejected modernization, right?
Indeed.
Because that's the thing, you think about it, when it's undiscovered or they're uncontacted, you kind of point it out. We just tend to think like, oh, well, they don't know about civilization.
Right.
Or, you know, these poor fools, they don't know about, you know, television or
Running
Grand
water.
Theft Auto 6.
Right. And they would clearly be better off if we gave them TV or made them Christians or did whatever, you know, made them slaves.
Yeah, which we have a fine, fine tradition of doing.
Sure.
And in this, who's this kid who wrote this? Patrick Kiger?
Yeah, never heard of him.
I hadn't either, but he's pretty good.
Yeah.
He does say that it goes back to Columbus. It goes well back before that.
Sure.
The Portuguese in particular loved to enslave Africans.
Yeah.
And actually, African tribes used to enslave one another. They had a completely different method and system of slavery. Slaves were treated much better among African tribes, especially West African tribes, to where they would eat at the same table as the people that owned them. And, of course, the Romans used slaves.
Yeah.
The Jews spent a good portion of their history as slaves to the Egyptians.
Sure.
So, I mean, whenever we come upon new people or subjugate them, we have a history of enslaving them, like you
said.
Yeah,
we tend to conquer. Like Chris Columbus met the very friendly Arawak people.
Yeah.
And instead of saying, well, we can learn from them, he thought they would make really good servants.
Right.
Look how hardworking they are.
Yeah.
And they don't even speak English, so who cares?
Right, exactly. Well, they were also looked upon as savages or less than human, which definitely aided the subjugation of their I don't know, blood?
Right. Do you know why?
Why?
Because back before everything was discovered and there was still a lot of undiscovered land and they were making maps, the map makers would often chart these undiscovered lands as being filled with, you know, mutant human beings and scary beasts for some reason.
Right, like here there be monsters because we haven't gotten around to mapping this area yet. So just assume that there's some sort of water serpent that's going to eat your boat.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, why they tended to strike fear into people, into explorers, instead of saying there might be very friendly people. Maybe caution?
Fear of the unknown.
You think so?
Sure.
But Josh, these days, virtually every corner of the Earth has been explored except for, obviously, parts of Antarctica and Amapa, which I had never heard of.
Oh, where is it?
In Brazil. And they said that 70% of this territory in northern Brazil is still unexplored forest.
Right. So it's possible there are undiscovered people out there.
Maybe.
Right. If there are undiscovered people out there, they are in big trouble. Because if the uncontacted or isolated people are any indication in their plight, then, yeah, any undiscovered people are really kind of screwed.
Yeah.
Stuff you should know.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball, and you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
You know, we talked about Chris Columbus and,
sure,
and subjugating people. And actually, Columbus was quite the little genocidal maniac.
He was. We covered that in one of the other podcasts, too.
We did. Because not only did he enslave them, he killed them, had them killed. Like,
sure,
entire groups of people are assumed to have been wiped out by, yeah, European colonization. And not just through brute force, but this type of genocide, and especially if you look at a genocide as the by its definition, that it's the systematic wiping out of a group, right? Like,
yeah,
a people or a population, then it still continues today, as recently as the 80s.
Sure.
The 90s in Brazil.
Are you talking about the microbes? Or are you talking about outright violence?
Violence.
Okay.
Specifically against the Akunzu.
Yes, Josh, the Akunzu, who seemed like a friendly tribe that grew corn and hunted in remote Brazil for thousands of years until they were discovered, and it was discovered that their land could be used for soy cultivation and cattle.
Right, so, and logging, actually, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the companies put in logging roads and into this virgin territory where the Akunzu lived,
mm-hmm,
and they actually came upon them. And it's part of Brazil's constitution that the moment you meet an uncontacted tribesperson or an undiscovered person,
yeah,
all work stops. So what the logging companies and the soybean farming concerns and the cattle ranchers did was hire assassins, like death squads, when they did meet the Akuntu, and sent them in and actually massacred them with guns. These people use bows and arrows, and these guys came in with machine guns and killed all but seven of the entire tribe.
Yeah, then they fled. Sadly, they fled. And in just last year, a newspaper reported that there were only five living Akunzu in the world.
Right. And that was 1990.
No.
That wasn't 1492
or
300 AD.
Very shameful.
Yeah.
But they are not, Josh, the most isolated tribe, according to Survival International, are they?
Right, no.
That would be the Sentinelese. Had you ever heard of these guys?
No, I hadn't. And I saw that video you sent me. There's
it's
a clip on
cool.
YouTube.
Yeah.
I think, did you just search the Sentinelese and that's what came up?
There was a couple of clips.
All right.
I think Nat Geo went down there and they did the same thing. They came out of the jungle onto the beach. And what it looked like in the video is their interpretation was they were making friendly gestures.
Mm-hmm.
I did see another one where they had the bow and arrow out.
Yeah.
And I was laughing though when I was watching it earlier. Part of me expected like hippie Rob to come out as their leader. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's like the god. He's like Brando in Apocalypse Now.
Exactly. And the Sentinelese, Josh, where are they? They are believed to be descended from the very first humans in Africa.
And technically we all are, but these people are directly descended from the first group that migrated out about 60,000 years ago, right?
Yep.
They live on the Andaman Islands in the Indian Ocean. And did you notice how clear that water was and how white those beaches were?
I wouldn't leave either, dude.
It was gorgeous.
Who needs TV and Xbox when you've got that, you know?
Right. So these people will come out of the jungle if you throw coconuts into the water at the beach.
Right.
That's what they were doing, right?
Oh, was it?
Yeah. This group of people were sitting there throwing coconuts into the water, and the Sentinelese came out and were like, thanks for the coconuts.
Well, they probably thought it's raining coconuts from the giant monster.
Yeah.
But they are actually not primitive Stone Age folks from what they say.
No.
Survival International says they're actually do make tools and weapons from recovered metal from shipwrecks.
Right.
Pretty cool.
They are actually not threatened. They're very isolated and relatively uncontacted.
Right.
But they're not threatened. They live on an island that no one really has any interest in, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But as we saw with the Akunzu, though, if there is money to be made off the indigenous land,
yeah,
you're in trouble.
Soy, oil,
yeah,
cattle.
Survival International actually named all of those. Oil, farming, mm-hmm. cattle, and logging as the dominant threat to uncontacted tribes.
So sad.
There's supposedly an estimated 100 uncontacted tribes in the world.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
That's a lot.
And it's sad that these people are around for 60,000 years doing their thing mm-hmm. long before us. And we just come in and say, hey, this would make a great soy farm, so I'm going to massacre you.
Yeah. They heard about the bailout, and they're like,
right,
we're staying here.
Not for us.
No. So there's five regions that are under the greatest threat right now, and they're in Brazil, Paraguay, and Peru. And actually, there's tons of evidence. There's groups dedicated, like Survival International.
Right.
And other NGOs. And then there's actually government ministries set up in Brazil and in Peru and I think Paraguay that are in charge of keeping track of these uncontacted tribes, which is really difficult to do.
Sure.
And a lot of times these uncontacted tribes are slivers, offshoots of other tribes
right.
that have had their land disturbed by logging or mining
uh-huh.
or oil companies.
So they would join up with another tribe and...
No, they'd just take off into the forest.
Oh, and start a new tribe.
No one would know how many there were, that kind
right.
of thing. But they would be living primitively, but they're getting pushed further and further out
right.
or being massacred or... They're coming into contact with disease, right?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with the microbes. Violence is obviously a big threat, but they say that a bigger threat are these tribes that lack immunities to these awful diseases that 20th century man has.
Right.
21st century man, excuse me.
Sure, it's the future,
I'm
remember.
Living in the past.
Yeah. There's actually that favorite book of mine, 1491.
Oh, yeah.
By Charles C. Mann.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about how there's an estimated 100 million people living on in the Americas in 1491. And then I think 90% were wiped out by smallpox.
Thank you.
Like within a few decades.
And Josh, it didn't just happen way back then. No. Like you said, in the 80s, some Christian missionaries made contact with the Zoe tribe in Brazil, and in pretty short form, 45 members of that tribe died from the flu, malaria, and respiratory diseases.
Yeah.
Just like that.
And more recently, in 1996, half of the Maranhua tribe, I think in Brazil, they were contacted by illegal loggers,
right.
And half of the tribe was wiped out from respiratory illnesses, I think.
Awful. So it's not like, to bring up one of our favorite movies again, it's not like bringing orange soda to the Waponi Woo. Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like that in real life.
I thought you were talking about The Gods Must Be Crazy.
No, another good one, though.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But it's not like the Joe versus the Volcano. It's not all happy-go-lucky. They usually make contact with them. And even in the case of the Christian missionaries, they were trying to do good, I guess, and ended up killing a lot of them. And the Brazilian government stepped in and actually kicked them out, the religious group, and said, no, you got to get out of here.
Yeah. And apparently, even when the thing is, when contact is made as safely as possible and there's a medical contingency plan in place, it's expected that a lot of the tribe's people will die.
Right.
But if they're made through illegal loggers or a Christian missionary group that doesn't know what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
then, yeah, a lot of people die, if not the entire group.
Right. That tribe did recover, though, we should note.
Yeah.
Which is good news. Said, get out of here, Christian missionary, so we can live peacefully. And healthfully.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, it's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win, and that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friends' money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
So, Chuck, is it good to even contact these people?
Well, it can be good and bad, because obviously if you make contact and you know a little bit about their way of life, you can protect them. But it's also, like this newspaper article, it also opens them up to being invaded or watched, or in this case, what was the tourism trip? Tell them about that. That's awful.
Savage tourism?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, the guy who was responsible for leading the expedition that produced those photographs that made the paper in 2008 was apparently approached by travel agents who wanted him to set up a savage tourism trip.
It's awful.
Which, can't you just see a bunch of, like,
oh, yeah,
fat, white Germans and Americans,
uh-huh,
like, ooh, I want to touch you. You
right.
Know? Now your whole tribe's wiped out.
And now let's get back on the cruise ship and look at the ice sculpture.
Like I said, the Brazil has it mentions uncontacted and undiscovered people in its constitution, in large part because of that 70% of unexplored forest in that just that one territory. They have a real – you don't have that in America. Like, we don't have to worry about, you know, how to treat undiscovered tribes. We figured out how to treat the ones we're familiar with badly enough.
Right.
Right? But so Brazil apparently recognizes that, like, hey, this is your land, right? And you legally own it. If you're an uncontacted or isolated tribe, nobody can touch it, but then has a really terrible history of following through on stopping people from going in and logging and oil. Peru's history is even worse. They have some uncontacted tribes, some threatened uncontacted tribes.
Right.
And Peru's president is like, I'm not even sure they exist. And by the way, the French oil company that's working in this area where they supposedly exist, I've now just decreed that their work is a national necessity. So when you you're an uncontacted tribe and you're butting heads with an oil company, you're going to lose.
Yeah, I would say so.
But I will say Paraguay, hats off to Paraguay. Because they actually, the environmental, nice, Chuck just took his hat off too. The environmental ministry revoked the license of a ranching concern that was just decimating.
Oh, really?
And I don't mean it in the literal, like, removing 10% term.
Right.
I mean, like, decimating.
All you Latin speakers out there.
This land that technically belongs to the indigenous uncontacted tribes there. So
they booted them out, or they just took away their permits?
They took away their permits, which is pretty much tantamount to booting them out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's just so sad that when, you know, such a modernist point of view to see these undiscovered or uncontacted peoples and think that they're savages and that their way of life is savage and primitive. It's just, they were here first.
Well, I mean, we were all here first. We were all here at the same time, but it's just a complete lack of recognition of other people's choices.
Yeah, and a respect for other cultures and ways of life. And
because again,
that didn't fly around here.
There's no Grand Theft Auto in the jungle.
No, there's not.
No,
there's no auto.
If you want to learn more about people, undiscovered or otherwise, you should try typing in "people" in the handy search bar at HowStuffWorks.com. It brings up a hidden subchannel.
Really?
Yes. I guess since I said hidden subchannel, that means it's time for what, Chuck? Listener mail?
Yes, Josh, it is. And before we do that, we want to send a thank you to Dan of the Pottery Dan.
Mm-hmm. Dan Made.
Dan Made. He has a little Etsy website, danmade.etsy.com, and he makes pottery, and he sent us some really awesome coffee mugs.
Yes, Dan Made.
Very cool mugs, and actually, that's my work mug now. That's what I use.
I noticed.
Cool detail. You got an octopus on yours.
With a pipe.
Oh, did I have a pipe?
Smoking a pipe.
I can't tell what mine is. It's some little dude, but it's just got cool details. It's got swirls in the bottom
and
little indentions.
And only some parts of it are glazed and others raw. It's really, Dan Made knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does. So thanks, Dan.
Yeah, thank you.
And you know what you wanted to bring up? People have been sending us little gifts, and it's just really nice to come into work and have someone, you know, what was her name that sent us the homemade Twinkie the Kid shirts?
I don't remember her name.
Ugh.
It was like Kaya or something like
Kyla, that? Kyla, I believe.
Okay.
She should write in because I told her that I would mention her little website too.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we got Twinkie the Kid t-shirts because remember we talked about how badly we wanted some?
Uh-huh. So with that, listener mail. All right, I'm going to call this organ donation details from someone who knows. Hi, Josh and Chuckers and Jerry. I'm an anesthesiologist who specializes in organ transplantation, specifically livers and kidneys. In fact, we performed a liver transplant just last night, and I'm home resting after what is always an exhausting procedure. He thought we might want a few more details about organ donation, so he says this. They do not get to meet the donor and the recipient until after a period of time, usually a year, and only after both agree to meet. But we also had people that wrote in and said they met, like, weeks later.
Huh.
So it might vary by hospital or state.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Or maybe there's just an agreement you go into. But he says they can trade letters and get very basic, unidentifiable information about each other, but it all gets censored by the organ procurement organization. This is because if this recipient does not live or the organ fails, the recipient or donor won't blame the donor or and their families. Also, if the organ works, they don't want the parties involved feeling unduly indebted to the donor. After all, it's supposed to be a free gift with no strings attached. After they have both had time to adjust to their new lives and agreed and prepared to meet, they can meet. That being said, people can still find each other if they are looking and turn to the same websites specifically designed to link donor to recipient, although it is strongly discouraged. So maybe that was the deal. They did it surreptitiously.
Yeah.
So I thought your listeners...
Somebody came up with the website to make money off of people who want to meet the people who donated a kidney to them.
What a great world we live in. I thought your listeners would want to know this, and I hope it encourages would-be donors that they don't have to meet the recipient if they think it would be too difficult. Regards, Todd.
Thanks, Todd.
The anesthesiologist.
Yeah. And didn't he say that it's like you die very easily if you're over anesthetized during a liver
procedure? He has a PS here. If you want to know why an anesthesiologist would need to specialize in liver transplantation, ask yourself if you would like to wake up during a procedure where patients don't tolerate anesthetics very well, and if you would like your new liver to have something to cleanse.
Yeah.
That's what he says.
Very mysterious, Todd.
Yeah.
I just asked myself that, and I have no answer.
I don't either.
So if you bring people to the brink of death and you want to tell us about it, or if you make money off of genuine human kindness, we want to hear your ploy.
Sure.
You can write in an email and send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.